Welcome to Caching. Well, Caching in the Northwest, of course. The only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. And we're going to talk about caches and cachers. No cashiers, though. But we're talking about unique to this little corner of the country. So, while you're trying to decide between paper and plastic, you know that plastic's illegal in Tacoma, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
It's not illegal. It just cost you 5 cents, you know, where a couple of months ago, the exact same piece of plastic was absolutely free.
Instead of giving you a disposable bag, we'll charge you a nickel for a disposable bag.
I'm not bitter.
Because you're going to throw it away anyway.
No, I keep mine. Well, and then I fill it with garbage and throw it away. But it's time to bring in our monkey that we take for granted. Some say he runs on a treadmill at 3 a.m. to generate electricity for his town. And others say he can tell the age of a rock by tasting it. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, everybody. It is a nickel's worth of Land Monkey tonight. Yeah. And yes.
Is that a paper or plastic Land Monkey?
Well, it's a plastic one if it's a nickel's worth. Paper ones are free. All right. Yes. And love the crunchy rocks. They taste the best. And speaking of things that are the best, we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters, Team Squirrel and WorldCaching.com. And we also want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. You guys are all awesome. Thank you very much. We appreciate the support every week. There you go. A round of applause. All right. So, hey, if you want to know more about what Patreon is and how to support this show, click the Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. And tonight, we're going to talk about Earth caching, and I'm so excited because I love talking about Earth caching.
This is Land Monkey without caffeine. You just mentioned Earth caching, and his adrenaline kicks up.
All right. But you know what? Before we get started, we're going to talk about the geocaching log of the week, or the GALO.
That's right. So whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it. Because great logs simply make geocaching better. Send an email to feedback at cachingnw.com. You know what? Call into 253-693-TFTC. Mm-hmm. Or use that voicemail tool right there on the website to show us how you glow.
You glow. Yes. And this week's glow was submitted by Bounce Bounce. A little tickery there. The log is from Glow in the Dark 2 or Glow in the Dark 11 or Glow in the Dark 3, depending on if you're in Roman decimal or binary. That's GC2ZFNR for those of you following along and playing the home game. And it reads, so we were sitting at Red Robin eating dinner when my wife said, since it's such a nice warm night out, we should do a night cache. We've had this one on our radar for some time now, so we thought, let's do it. After dinner, we went back to the house to grab the UV flashlight. Unfortunately, we could not find the UV light anywhere because my son has been playing with it and forgot where he put it. I was extremely bummed since this cache seemed really fun. I suddenly thought to myself, oh, well, I purchased some UV LED bulbs for a project so I could make my own UV flashlight. 15 minutes later, we were off to get the smiley. When we arrived at the parking lot, my son said, I brought lots of glow sticks so we don't get lost in the woods. I said, how are they going to keep us from getting lost? He replied, I'll put them on the ground behind us and leave a trail. So I thought to myself, that's dumb, because we'll need to pick them all back up on our way out. But, you know, if it'll keep him entertained, fine. After some arguing, I said, okay. We started our way from the parking lot to stage one, and it took us some time to get there between all the different paths you could take and picking up and laying down glow sticks. After finding the first checkpoint and continuing on to the second and then the final cache, when my wife was signing the log, we heard a loud kerplunk. It sounded like someone was throwing large rocks into the nearby water. The sound seemed to be only about 30 feet away from us. Unfortunately, there are trees and brush between us and the water. Then we heard another kerplunk, kerplunk. Oh, okay, that must be some kids in the woods playing around. But it's 11:30 p.m. Why would they be this far in the woods at night? We quickly put the cache back and started our way back to the car, which was about 0.3 miles from us. We only got about 20 glow sticks picked up when we saw a flashlight in front of us. I thought it was either the kids throwing rocks or another cacher. And then we heard a police radio, and he said hello. It was a sheriff's deputy all the way down the trail. He asked us what we were doing in the woods at night. I told him geocaching, and I explained the game to him. He informed us that the parking lot usually gets locked up at 10 p.m. He noticed our car in the lot, so he came back at 11 p.m., but our car was still there. Then he noticed the trail of glow sticks, so he knew someone was still there and decided to follow them. I couldn't believe he walked all the way down the trail to find us so we wouldn't be locked in the park. We had a great conversation all the way back to the car, explaining to him how geocaching works. Who would have known the glow sticks my son brought, and I argued with him over, actually kept us from getting our car locked in the park overnight.
So, after this, I decided I need to keep 20 to 30 glow sticks in my car with me so I can do night caching.
Yeah.
There you go. That is an interesting story.
Isn't it, though?
That's awesome. What?
You know, you may be out finding a cache.
Mm-hmm.
Not at the moment.
And who knows? It may be a milestone cache.
It might be.
If you're finding a milestone cache, you know what you need to do? You need to celebrate that with us.
Yes.
So call in at 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community. Do you know what happened?
No.
Somebody found a milestone cache.
No.
And they called it into, guess what, 253-693-TFTC.
Ooh.
Let's take a listen.
Let's.
Hey, this is IHAM. I'm calling in a milestone. I'm out on the Auburn GeoCoin Challenge, and I just passed cache number 2300 today as part of this challenge. And oddly enough, I seem to have some hosts that are cheering me on. So anyway, happy caching. Later.
There you have it. So congratulations, IHAM, on number 2300.
Congratulations indeed. And rumor has it that his log entry read 253-693-TFTC.
Is that true?
No, probably not. I said it was a rumor. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I wish that everybody's log mentioned 253-693-TFTC, but that's probably not going to happen. Yeah. One of the other things that people wish, though, is that hashtag they wish they were caching or hashtag wish I was caching.
Mm-hmm.
We got a contest about that.
Ooh, yes, there is. You know, we have been getting so many hashtag wish I were caching posts on Facebook and Twitter. It's actually a lot of fun.
It is.
You know, we may actually be trending on Twitter with the hashtag wish I was caching. I tell you, I type in hashtag W, wish I was caching was the first one that come up. So we have to be, right?
Yep.
We're legends in our own minds.
It's right.
Clearly. Well, then you're catching up. I've been a legend in my own mind for quite some time.
You must have a powerful mind. We're beginning to believe you.
Yeah, there you go. Karnak. do we want to share some of these that we've seen over the last little
while? I think so.
All right. I will share the first one here. This is from Twitter. It was Dora Moore. She posted a picture of a nice little waterfall and said, the courtyard at work. It's nice enough, I suppose, but I hashtag wish I was caching.
Nice. Tick Maggot said, I sure hashtag wish I was caching. Wait a minute. What is that? Could it be hashtag geocaching? So maybe he is actually caching while he wished he was caching.
He was wishing while caching. Yeah. Bryling posted, I only need 3 more finds to complete my Jasmer grid. Problem is, they're in Idaho, Utah, and California.
Hmm.
Hashtag wish I was caching.
Yeah, he wishes he was caching in the U.S., apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and bringing things back around to where we started just a few moments ago with IHAM, who shared, it may be hashtag Thai Tuesday, but I still hashtag wish I was caching.
Nice. Hey, we've got a call-in from our buddy Limax. Let's take a listen.
Good day, gentlemen. This is Limax. Thinking in the past few weeks, I've been doing a lot of traveling between towns for personal business and other reasons. And as Chris is aware because he's seen my GPSR. I have caches all over the Greater Bay Area and beyond in my GPSR, so I could do scenes of pants caching. And so many times did I see these caches just off of the freeway that looked like they were in a neat park or something like that, and I couldn't go get them. But every time it came up, it was hashtag wish I was caching. Bye.
I like that. Hashtag wish I was caching. Team Finn, not to mention Tim Fiend, says in the chat, Chris wasn't lying about the W thing. Went on Twitter, typed W. The first result was hashtag wish I was caching.
Nice.
Nice. That's awesome.
That's the power of CNW.
There you go.
We have the power.
Yes, we exercised it earlier by
we have so much
somebody
power.
Else's podcast.
Yeah,
that's right.
One podcast isn't enough.
That's right. Three of us in Orville. We had a good time.
Yeah,
we certainly did. Orville's such a good sport.
Yeah. Yes, we had both land and ground troops, or land and air support.
I was going to say, and air support from Orville.
Yeah. From Orville to conquer the last podcast. How was your week in caching, folks?
Big pause.
Crickets. Okay. So nobody's done anything because, well you know, we're geocaching.
That's not true. We know Land Monkey did.
Podcasts. Yeah.
Well, I mean, last weekend was Auburn Geocoin.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Geocaching Adventure? Auburn Geocaching Adventure?
Correct. 2017.
So, yeah, we headed down and met up with Chris in the Northwest. We were hoping to hang out with Wits End as well, but he had to work, unfortunately. But
I bet he was hashtag wish he was caching.
You know it.
There you go. So that's two entries for you there, Chris in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Mentioned it on the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Anyways, we had a great time. Thank you very much. Even though you kind of let us down in the middle of the night.
Yeah. kind of let the air out of your sails there.
The air out of something. So a little bit of an inside joke, but we did stay at Chris of the Northwest's place on an air mattress that apparently had a slow leak.
Yeah, he hit rock bottom.
It. Nobody knew about that slow leak until about 3 in the morning.
You know about it now.
Yeah. Know about it. That's all right. We appreciated having a warm, dry place to sleep. So that was awesome.
Nice. Yes, the Auburn Geocaching Adventure was a lot of fun. 20 yes. brand new caches, plus that night cache, plus an event or two events. That makes quite a nice little weekend of caching.
And a nice coin at the end. And a nice coin at the end.
And you got a nice coin. I don't have mine down here with me.
Yeah, mine's upstairs.
And we met up with the camp clan.
We did.
And of course, many, many other geocachers that were there. So it's very nicely done. It's one of those events that, you know what? I enjoy doing this. I'm going to come back year after year. So
absolutely. And I also want to shout out to the few people who happened to stop us and say, hey, I listened to the podcast. It's great to see you. It was so nice to meet a few listeners who I had never met before. And it was great. It's a love being down in your neck of the woods and meeting you guys. So thank you for taking the time to come up to us and let us know that you listened to the podcast. We really appreciate hearing that. And it was great to meet you. So thank you for listening and keep on listening, and we'll try and keep a quality podcast coming for you.
Definitely.
That's really nice.
Start tonight.
We'll start for tonight. We're going to surprise you tonight.
That's nice. I wish I could have been with you guys. Sound like it's a lot of fun. And it's always nice to run into people that spend their Thursday nights with us. You know, they see us, but we don't see them. It's, well, that we let on to. We can see into some of those living rooms and bedrooms, but we're not going to admit that.
We're not going to tell you can control your cameras remotely. That would be wrong and creepy.
Not saying that at all.
No.
Because they start talking in French? No, don't know anything about it.
Thank you so much for coming up to us. Because you know what? Exactly what Wits End said. You know, you see us, we don't necessarily see you. So, you know, it means a lot just to come up and say and introduce yourself and let us know that you listen. We appreciate that.
Yeah, come up and introduce yourself to me this weekend. I'll be spending my weekend in Lederhosen at Oktoberfest Northwest in Puyallup.
You know, just saying. I took my parents to that last year. It was a lot of fun. You know, when do you get to see wiener dog races? Just saying.
Hammerschlagen.
I don't know what that means. Is that wiener dog races?
No.
Oh.
That's a different event.
Okay.
Google it. Moving on.
Right on.
Hey, we also, as we go through stuff, we also want to remind those who are listening live, make sure that you use your hashtag FITAS if there's something that you want to share with us, particularly share any of your thoughts about your geocaching adventures in the past week or any other random things you want to talk about, hashtag FITAS.
Any plans for Oktoberfest? Toss that in there.
Yeah. Or Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes. Canadian Thanksgiving. Or an extra day to Earth Cache.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that in a few.
I think we're going to get to that in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, some people have Earth Cache from a cruise ship. Just saying. So, you know, last week we talked about cruise ships. See how I segued that?
Mm.
That was so smooth. Fellow listener Bounce Bounce had an idea that I would like to bounce off of some of our faithful listeners. I had an idea. There are some 1 to 3 day cruises from Seattle to Vancouver and Nanaimo, you know, that the inner passage, they call it. Would any of the Caching in the Northwest faithful be interested in a short cruise together? Maybe a 1 day, maybe a 3 day, leaving from Seattle, going up, you know, into Canada and then back down again. So, for an example, a 1 day cruise from Seattle to Vancouver is $99 US. And we're talking a major cruise line like Princess, Norwegian, there's others, and I can't come up with any more cruise lines off the top of my head. But, you know, there are three or four different cruise lines that cruise out of Seattle with 1 day cruises. So, you know, we could organize a cache outing at each end of the stops there and always hang out together on board. So send a quick yes or no to the cruise email to feedback@cachingnw.com. I just want to get a poll, see if this is something that you're interested in and we can organize. So
do these only run during the summertime or are they year round?
Mostly the summer. I think we may have missed the window this year.
Okay.
Well, we missed summer. Yeah.
Well, yes, but I mean, you know, they may have run into late September.
Sure.
Which is still technically summer, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're getting some positive feedback in the chat about that. So, nice. Team Finn says, why not make a straw poll? I thought that exact same thing. We could do a Twitter poll or something. So,
yep.
Yeah, I might put that up there. I'll put out a social media post about it.
Well, and here's a thought. If you are up in Canada, in the greater Vancouver, Metro Vancouver area, and you would like to go along on something like this, you could take the train down from Vancouver
to
Seattle and then cruise back. That would actually be kind of fun. I'd probably be into that.
There you go. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things. So, it's something that I'd never thought of before. Bounce Bounce brought that up, and I was like, that sounds like a lot of fun. So, you know, before we go in and say, this is what we're doing, I just want some feedback. We'd never thought about anything like this previously, so.
Very cool.
There you go. Very cool. I just wanted to toss that out there. That's all nice. I got.
Well, while we're just tossing things around, this just arrived for me. I'm holding up in front of the camera a homemade caramel iced cap that Mrs. Landmonkey just came down and handed to me.
Wow.
The first time she's tried making one of these, and I just tried it, and it's pretty darn good. So there you go. Nothing but the best here at Land Monkey Studios.
Wow. So bye-bye, Tim Horton. Hello, Land Monkey.
Yeah, there you go. So
let's see if he can talk about earth caching with a brain freeze.
It's a glacial movement, if you will.
Mm. Very good. All right. So we're segueing here into talking about earth caching.
Wow. A milkshake. Frozen ice for earth caching.
There you go. Okay. Very nice. So earth caching. First of all, once again, thanks to geocaching.com for adding a second day to International Earth Caching Day. So now it's finally 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, and I am going to continue to take some credit for that change.
I think you should take all the credit.
Yeah.
You know, 200 episodes of Caching in the Northwest where you bash geocaching.com because there's only one day for Earth Cache Day and we have a week for CETO. Oh, sorry.
Right? Almost 2 weeks for CETO.
That's true.
And CETO's twice a year now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like, come on. Anyways. So yes, thankfully they have made that change. I am delighted because that gives us so much more flexibility in Canada when it comes to Thanksgiving dinner. And you know, because sometimes you do actually have to help out and prepare Thanksgiving dinner and things like that. And you can't always just go take off. And of course, the more earth caches you find, the longer distance you have to go to find the next one. So all that. And I see we've already got a hashtag FATAS publishing an earth cache. How? Well, that sounds, you know what? I'm going to say instead of hashtag FATAS, we're going to mark that one down. We are going to make that a future episode. We will focus an episode in a month. I think we're free in about a month, right, Chris?
That's about right. Yeah.
So we're going to schedule it in for about a month from now. We will make a show on publishing an earth cache. There you go. Thank you. However, so, Earth Cache Day, you want to get the souvenir. What do you need to do? So, obviously, you need to find and log an Earth Cache. Well, some people are fairly experienced at it. It's not really a challenge. Some people, it's really intimidating, especially if you're new to geocaching. Earth caches can be intimidating because, as Mrs. Land Monkey says, it's too much like school. However, you know, so let me throw it over to you guys. If you are planning on getting the souvenir this coming weekend, how are you going to identify/locate an earth cache that you will accomplish for that?
Well, I was going to go to geocaching.com, click on the homepage there and look at earth caches. Because, you know, it's a featured search right now.
Oh, is it? Okay. See, I didn't even check on that. Because I've already got mine picked out for a while, so it's going. But so there you go. So it's one of the featured searches that makes it super simple. That's great. Other ways you can do it, of course, if you weren't looking at that, you could always pull up the map and then just throw the filters on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most people know that when you pull up the geocaching map, if you click on the arrows on the left that pop out the side, you can actually turn and turn off which caches you're showing on the map.
And you can turn off the categories very quickly, you know, traditional, where it's earth caches. Wait, I've turned it back on.
Virtuals and
earth caches, events, and CETOs. CETOs, events, megas, and gigas. You can turn those off in one click. Or if you're looking for just events, you can individually click each type and turn it off as well.
Nice.
So let's see. The nearest one to me. Oh, I found that one. Maybe 20, 30 miles away.
Okay. So is that doable? Are you planning to do it?
Well, don't you have to?
Well, if you want the souvenir, you don't have to get the souvenir. So are you planning to drive the 20 or 30 miles and go get it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's one near Buckley and another near Black Diamond.
Oh, I know where Black Diamond is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I mean, from Tacoma, you know, it's you're going to have to plan on it. It's not just, oh, I happen to be out shopping. Let me stop and get this Earth cache.
So there's not too many around the Tacoma area itself?
Not anymore. Well, not that I have not found.
Okay. But there are a few around, because I remember I did one actually not far from downtown Tacoma. There was one along like there's like a pier there or something.
Yeah,
like
from on the waterfront, yeah.
Yeah. it's relatively close to my house, Wigwam to Wetland.
That's the one. I remember doing that a couple of years ago. But yeah.
Okay. But that's Earth cache in Tacoma proper.
Sorry, I missed what you said.
That's the only Earth cache in Tacoma proper.
Okay. What about Defiance Park there?
Nope.
None in there, really? Mm-mm. Hmm. Crazy.
Well, all right. It's just screaming for them, isn't it?
Well, usually that kind of area is good. So,
there's a big fault line that runs right along the coast there, the east coast of Point Defiance Park. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to do an earth cache because the fault line is mostly underwater, so you can't see it. And I'm trying to figure out how to do an earth cache based on that.
You're just not trying hard enough.
I know.
Perhaps you can see the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So, yeah, we got some chatter going on in the chat group here about how far some folks are going to have to travel, distances between 1.3 miles, 5.9 miles, up to, did I see any distances further than that? I'm sure there are, but so there's some very simple ways to make sure you can find an earth cache. Now, the one most important piece of advice I give anybody about going out earth caching, especially for International Earth Cache Day, because you want to make sure you get the souvenir.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you also want to make sure you do it properly and you don't get on the bad side of the CO. So the first thing I would say is make sure you read the description before you go out. Sometimes almost all the information you need is in the description. And you just need to make a couple of observations when you get out to ground zero. So, you know, we're getting to the time of year where sometimes the weather can turn on you and it might be kind of crappy when you get out there. So you want to, you know, be prepared to make your observations as quickly as possible and concisely as possible. If you need to take notes, measurements, whatever kind of observations it can be. But one of the other valuable things about reading the description first is there's not a lot. There are a handful of earth caches where you may need special equipment, special equipment such as a ruler or some sort of device for measuring small objects. You might need a thermometer. You might need a thermometer for some earth caches where you want to
test kit.
Or a pH test kit, yeah.
Or the ability to measure gallons per minute. In a flow rate.
Yes. So read the description, know what you need to bring what you need.
See, that's where I always fall down. I don't read ahead of time.
No, it's cold read caches. That's the best way to go.
Oh, okay.
Hey, and if you're just going after traditionals, why not? But if you're going after an earth cache, do a little bit of prep. Head out there prepared. You get to ground zero, you know what you need to do. Some earth caches have multiple waypoints. If you read the description in advance, you know, I'm in for a walk.
So there's like homework. This is like school,
right? There you go.
Wait, and there's a test at the end, isn't there?
And there's a test at the end. These are all the reasons Mrs. Landmonkey will not do an earth cache. She loves going out to the areas and doing the walks with me and making the observations with me and, you know, quote unquote, learning without having to prove she's learned. So it's the proving I've learned something part she doesn't want to do. So, you know, on the topic of the proving you've learned something, that's one of the key things. And this is one of the things that makes an earth cache different than most other cache types is you will need to submit answers to some sort of questions. Those answers may be observations, such as distances, size, texture, some sort of observation about what you're seeing based on the context of what you've just learned. And a key part about that is, according to the guidelines, thou shalt submit thine answer either by email or instant, or the
messenger,
mm-hmm. the messenger, prior to submitting your found it log.
And I completely agree with that. I always wait until I've sent the message in. I don't always wait till I get a response. I may email the CO with the answers and then go log the cache.
And in my eyes, that's okay. I rarely wait to actually get an answer back from the CO before I log the caches.
I'm still waiting for some that I did 3 and 4 years ago.
And because that'll happen, yeah. Right?
If it's right, no big deal. So,
and the other thing is I've found in my experience, 98% of the Earth caches I've logged, if there's been something with my answers that don't line up exactly with the answers that the CO is expecting, they just let you know and say, hey, what I was looking for this one was actually this. But thanks for visiting. And that's what I do. I try and respond to every answer that I get with a hope you enjoyed visiting the area, or, you know, thanks for your answers, just to acknowledge the fact that somebody took the time to send their answers in. And I don't necessarily get to it immediately when you send it. So you know what? If you've sent the answers, submit your logs. Generally, you're going to be good. It's a very rare circumstance where someone's going to say, nope, your answers aren't exactly what I'm looking for. I'm deleting your log.
Yeah. See, I've had some answers to my Earth or logs on my Earth cache, and the answers come 2 and 3 weeks later. I'm almost to the point of, I'm going to delete your entry. You haven't, sent me an answer. I'm not going to let you just log this. Is that wrong? I think
I was reading the chat room.
Oh, I see. That's how it works.
The chat room, you're more important to me than Chris.
The research department has chimed in. Yes.
Once you send your answers, you may log your find online before hearing back from the cache owner. Yep. So there you go. That is as I thought. That's aligned with the guidelines there. Sorry, Chris. Is that what you were talking about, or were you?
Well, I was going to say a couple of people, it said that they found this while they're on vacation and they went ahead and logged it, and it was 2 to 3 weeks before they emailed the answers.
No. So,
and I almost got to the point of, I'm going to delete your log because you haven't. Oh, there it is. There's the answers they sent. Okay.
So, part of the problem with that is caching by phone.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You know, I feel about caching by phone, but I'm going to tell you that people who cache by phone mess some of that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to just submit your log and not send your answers first. And then you can forget even if it's an honest, oh, I forgot to send my answers.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way the game is played when it comes to Earth caches.
But I'll defend caching by phone because it has an email client. You can actually compose your answers in an email while you're, out in the field in the midst of discovery, compose it, send it in an email. Hey, there you go. I've sent it off. I'm going to go ahead and log the cache.
Okay. So I'll retract that. I'm not going after caching by phone. I'm going after people who cache by phone because
okay,
they're too damn lazy and they don't send the answer in first. Yeah. They just send the log and then they'll maybe send an answer later. No, that's not how you do it. Send the answer. So you got a phone. It has an email client.
It resembles that, Mark.
Write the answers. Then send your log. But yeah.
Can I just do it from the trail and say, found this with Len Monkey, check his answers?
as long as I say I'm answering for Zen.
Yeah. See, I'm picky about that.
Actually, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Multiple people finding an Earth cache at the same time. Jump in there, Chris.
I want each person to send their own answers in.
Really?
Yeah. Right. You know, that way I know one for one, done.
You're really lonely? You need lots of email?
Yes.
It's exactly. I was just going to say, he's lonely and he wants lots of emails.
Thank you. And I want you're such a great Earth cache owner. We really like you. That's really what I was looking for.
Okay, you heard it here first, folks. Feedback at cachingnw.com. Dear Chris.
You're a great Earth cache owner, and we love you. Still not going to let you log the Earth cache without the right answers, though.
I've got a whole slew of emails here in this one folder that says, I'm living in Moscow at the moment. After reading the information on your page, I was pleasantly surprised. I'd like to pal up with you because you have all the qualities, which must have a real man. So I can forward you as many of these emails as you like if you're looking for emails. This is from Olga. Do you want her email?
Just
which is
her,
you know what?
Give her Chris's
email. No, you guys don't have to come
back. Which is
next
really
week.
Interesting because the email starts out, my name is Larissa, and she signs off Olga.
Huh. Well, it's the same name in Russian.
Well, yeah.
Clearly a confused young lady. I think you should contact her and talk her off
and
the ledge.
And help her out. Yeah. Talk her off the ledge.
Straighten her out.
Wow. You guys are mean.
I'm just trying to help out.
We love you, Chris.
I don't think so.
You're a great Earth cache owner.
Thank you. Now, I know geocaching.com rules of conduct says you multiple people can submit a single email. I understand that. So, do what you want to do. No, but I don't necessarily agree with it.
Well, I have to say that I feel the opposite way. If multiple people are doing my Earth cache, I am totally okay with one person sending in the email for the group. As long as you state in your email, I was caching with, and tell me who it is so that when I get the logs from the other people, I'm going, yep, okay, that was the group. Because honestly, people are going to sort of collectively put their answers in together anyways. They're all going to pretty much send the same answer because they were there together. So may as well.
Yeah. But see, then it's, you know, I work in a school and I feel like it's cheating. They've copied the answers off of each other and they're all submitting the same test.
Well, Earth caches are a lot like school, I've been told.
Team Finn is scared. Is caching in the Northwest going to exist after tonight? This is terrifying.
I don't know. Earlier in the chat, I think Team Finn said that Chris and I were not needed to be on a podcast about Earth caching.
That's right.
I think
we saw that comment.
We read all the comments. I just want to let you know. We may not mention them, but we read them all.
So looking forward to the next Team Finn event, are we?
Oh, we love the comments. They're all good.
Going to be a rough night, boys.
I already know that I'm not needed here.
That is not true.
Team Finn to point that out.
That's not true. We are so glad to have you back. I mean, my goodness, who else would have introduced us to Orville if you weren't here?
There is that.
Orville and his friend the ostrich. Yeah.
Quality podcast content.
Yeah. Seriously. Don't forget Das Boot.
Oh, you can't. Once you see it, it's burned in your brain.
Yeah.
It's in there, man. Okay, we'll just leave that one laying right there for later.
Yep, exactly. Hashtag FATAS. All right. So we've debated sending your answers in and logging. And once you've logged it, you get your souvenir. Woohoo. What else do we need to talk about finding an Earth cache on Earth cache weekend?
You need to submit it within a reasonable time. How long are you allowed to, how late are you allowed to submit the answers and still get the, souvenir?
Submit the answers or submit the log?
Like log.
A backdated log.
Log.
So like Tuesday rolls around and you're like, oh crap, I found that
Yeah.
On Sunday.
I was still waiting for the CO to email back to say that I got it right before I went ahead and submitted
this. Of course
this.
You were.
Yes.
What a good cacher. I don't know what, I don't know that there's a quote unquote statute of limitations on that. Gosh. I don't know. Anybody in our chat happen to know the answer to that?
Research department? There's going to be a time where it's like you can't do it, you know, 3 weeks after and backdate it and expect to get the souvenir.
Well, so. I don't know. People, I think, even as recently as a month or so ago, are still logging my trackables from the last block party.
That's true.
Yeah, it's different.
Track the last block party. Yeah, I think you're right.
There you go. Brian Lang says he doesn't know what the limitations are, but
what?
You
know, what?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up the podcast. What just happened?
The phrase Brian Lang says he doesn't know just blew us out of the water here.
I guess we're done. Yeah. We just jumped the shark.
I'm telling
Team Finn was right. This is the end of C&W. You know, let's do a German heritage podcast.
Yeah, this is like a milkshake coming out Land Monkey's nose in the middle of an Earthcation episode.
I say it's not a milkshake, man.
It's an ice cap. It's a nightcap.
Caramel ice cap. Homemade caramel ice cap. Okay, anyways. So, yeah, wow, yodeling. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, from a pickle.
Pickle yodeling. So, yeah, I think... What's this? IHAM says, confession time. I pulled the, we'll send you the answers from the hotel tonight card on some Earth caches.
Yeah.
That happens. That happens. But again, you know, it's, it is what it is for the most part. And as long as you can get the answers and the logs in a timely manner, ideally really send the answers before the logs. It shouldn't be that hard. If you've got the data to send the log, you got the data to send the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
But so we've beat that one to death.
Yeah.
Let's make a drone out of it. You just have to make a drone. Okay.
Okay. make a drone out of anything.
Yeah. You can, really. so, yeah. So the question that we were sort of debating there was how long do you have to retroactively log your Earth cache find and still get the souvenir? I mean, I don't know why you would need more than a week.
Exactly.
Unless you're like traveling internationally, but you know, do it within a week, you'll be fine.
In that case, you know, go visit a Starbucks anywhere in the world and you can get free Wi-Fi.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sorry, the chat got me. Okay.
All right. So I think that covers off most of what we can do, unless there's any questions out of the chat about finding an Earth cache for Earth cache weekend. I think kind of covered off the key things.
You love saying that, don't you?
What's that?
Earth cache weekend.
Oh, Earth cache weekend. Earth cache weekend.
Earth cache weekend.
Earth cache
weekend. 2 days.
Anyways,
welcome back to Earth.
Earth cache weekend. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways,
all beautiful 2 days of it. And actually, I'll need Sunday this week or this year because I have to make an airport run on Saturday. So, actually,
Dora Moore asks, what can you do if you find an Earth cache that's in another country and another language? So, that's interesting because my understanding is that, well, no, that's true because I have found Earth caches in Germany that were, the description was only in German. So A, you do what I did, which was, ask your relatives to read it for you.
Mm-hmm. and why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? You know, Google Translate actually works pretty good. Good enough.
Good enough. Yes.
Yeah. that you can basically figure out enough information to get answers. And honestly, again, I would be pretty surprised if the CO, I've gotten answers from people who clearly are visiting.
Mm-hmm.
English is not their first language. And they have given me answers that I look at and go, that's kind of odd, but I get where they're coming from and they made an attempt and clearly they were there. So, okay, fine.
Can you just type a lot of Rundish Vernigavis Nivers Nivarda? Mork, Mork, Mork. Yeah, got it.
That's the one.
Earth cash.
And you get an earth cash, and you get an earth cash, and you get an earth cash.
Oh, sorry, still laughing at the Swedish chef's earth cash. Yep.
So, yes, Google Translate isn't perfect. What you need is the brand new Pixel Buds. Did you hear this?
No, tell me.
Google released the Pixel 2 phone. Okay. It's got some great software, but with it, they released a pair of wireless earbuds, Bluetooth earbuds.
Okay.
That will allow you to carry on a conversation in another language. Somebody can speak to you in another language. The earbuds themselves will translate it.
Why didn't they just call them a babblefish?
That would have been so much smarter.
Yeah.
The Babble Buds. That is so cool. Now,
that is really cool.
I'm sure there's limitations in it, but you know what? Google Translate is decent.
It's like having your own UN translator in your own phone.
Wait.
And it's even better than some sign language interpreters we've seen in Africa.
Yeah.
That sounds like there's a story there.
Oh, yes. There's lots of stories there. No, there's one major story there if you're following.
Limex is, what if someone speaks English with a heavy accent? We all know that the only heavy accents are the foreigners. The English has never have an accent, right?
There you go.
Wait.
Dora Moore asked said Google Translate isn't always accurate. If you're struggling with it, will you get help from geocaching.com? I think if you have to go to that point, like if you're back and forth with the earth cache owner is getting to the point where you're just not making any progress. I don't know. I haven't had to do that. I suppose you could. And I guess that's at that point, you're going down the appeal road.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that's an awful lot of extra work for an earth cache. You've done some, true. And if you can prove you were there and that you're trying, I mean, you know, you look at this and some of these words, I'm looking at it with, you know, a earth cache in my native language, and I don't understand some of the words I'm looking at. So
maybe it'd be less work just to have an archive party.
But you don't get a souvenir for that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You get a suspension for that.
There you go. It's a special kind of souvenir.
It's a special souvenir. Not everybody gets those.
That's true. You would definitely be special.
Team Finn says, guys, it's just a smiley.
Yes.
But if that's your only smiley for the day and you're going to ruin your streak if you don't get it, Team Finn, I think that now we're into a different territory.
Yeah, it's a smiley that you've done a huge amount of work for.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You could have just found a gum wrapper in a tree and got the same smiley.
As Limex says, but it's an earth cache smiley.
Yeah.
And you do work harder for them. And I guess I would, to Dormore's comments, I would be surprised if somebody was going to give you that much grief. And maybe she's had an experience where an earth cache owner has given her that much grief on one.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, like, if it's your only earth cache in a different country, and so you really want to have that one for some specific reasons, I suppose you could go the route of talking to geocaching.com to get it sorted away. Mm-hmm. If the cache owner is being kind of a dork about it, but I just don't understand why somebody would be that difficult about giving away. And I think this is Team Ben's point, is for the CO's perspective. it's just a game, folks. It's just a smiley. You don't really need to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, it's fine. You got to make a big deal out of it. Count on your stats. There you go. I said it.
It does count on your stats. Especially if you're, you know, trying to get some sort of Earth cash related milestone within the year.
That's right. What if you're going for your silver or bronze or even gold or platinum or
platinum?
Rhodinium. I don't know.
Magnesium.
Unobtainium.
Oh. How can you get that? Dora Moore.
My mom used to say that. What?
Dora Moore commented again. I know geocaching.com has translators, so I wonder if you could get help from them.
Oh, that's what she's getting
yeah,
at.
So I think you would take this up to the volunteer reviewer area, perhaps even translator. I think some of the volunteer reviewers are translators as well.
Yeah. They are.
You know, so it's possible. Yeah.
I suppose, but I don't know that they. I don't know that they do that. I don't know. You know what? We should send an email to Rock Chalk.
Oh, there you go.
Let's ask Rock Chalk to
let's go ahead and log his cache first and then send him an email.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
IHAM says, but it's not about the numbers, right?
Right.
And I'll have you in the chat room know that I threw down a gauntlet this before we went on the air with Land Monkey, and he has failed to rise to the challenge. We were looking at the Project GC profile stats just for fun, because numbers aren't that important, but they're kind of fun to look at. And I have a number that I've beaten him at, and he refuses to accept the challenge to try to get a bigger number than mine.
That is correct. So. I do refuse to accept that challenge because I know there's no way I could ever do it.
Oh, you could.
No, you've got me beaten hands down on that particular stat.
You just have to commit yourself, Len Monkey. You can do it. We have faith in you.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of geocaching stats that I can go after, and I think I can do them. I just really don't think I can achieve that one. I think it's made of unachievium.
Unachievium.
Mm. Wow.
Now you're just making things up.
No.
For those of you interested at home, my most consecutive days without a find is 188, and Land Monkey refuses to try to beat that number.
Yeah.
So
it's just not going to happen.
His days without a find is like 3.
No, it's 8. That's my longest no finding streak.
It's a whole week. That's 8 days a week. According to the Beatles, that's just one week.
There you go.
They weren't very good with numbers.
Math. Yeah. It's like homework.
Wits End, Limax says, I have you beaten by a lot.
Awesome. Congratulations.
A new champion.
Woohoo! Wait.
Oh, I didn't claim to be the champion. I'm just happy that I finally bested Land Monkey at something.
There's a number on the stat page Land Monkey will not go after, and we can win.
Yeah, see?
There you go. Well, I will go after it in the sense of the game of golf.
Mm.
The lower that number, the better.
That's not how I play golf.
There are not a lot of stats where I think the lower the better, but that is one of them.
Yeah. Okay, Earth caches.
Yeah.
Go do them. Log the or email before you log.
Yep.
Read the page before you go out.
Oh yeah.
And
have fun.
No, it's like school. You can't have fun. What else?
Yeah, no fun, sir. Zero fun, sir. You think Earth caching is fun? No.
Yeah.
Go on now, since you're thinking.
Yeah, Earth caches are awesome. They're the best ever.
Okay, fine. That may be your fault.
I think they're nice.
Yeah. As long as you're not too erratic.
What if they're in Nice? Can you find a nice cache in Nice?
There's got to be at least one.
Maybe.
All right. So, what do you figure, guys?
I think we beat this. I figure
things are getting a little rocky.
Ooh.
That was funny. You know what we didn't do? I'm taking a look at the tail end of our show notes, and we didn't talk about what's coming up next in the next couple of episodes. So it'll be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
There you go. Well, in the meantime, Witsend, where can people find you on the internet?
I was going to say you could find me at Puyallup Fair Oktoberfest tomorrow, but on the internet, right here on Thursday night's your best bet. Otherwise, twitter.com/Witsend is a place to go to waste some time. And, well, should we go for you first? Let's go back to Chris.
Yeah.
He's down there in the basement. Tell us where we'll find you.
In my mom's basement. Oh.
That's not true.
Look for
your mom doesn't even have
you...
a basement. I've been to your mom's house.
That's true. She didn't have a basement. Anywhere you can find Caching in W, that could be Twitter, Facebook, Google+. You never know. Land Monkey, what about you?
I love that you never know. Just you, randomly
just
try
randomly look. You'd be surprised.
Until you hit the end of the internet. And then...
Oh. I've right. been there.
You have. You've shown us.
Yeah.
You know what, folks? You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at LandMonkeyGC. Love to have you follow us and share some of our adventures. We've been sharing some fun photos we took when we were at the Auburn geocaching adventure. There's more photos to come and there's more adventures to come. So we'll always try and take some creative and fun photos and share them with you. On Facebook, you just look up Team Land Monkey. And of course on YouTube, look for our videos. Just search Land Monkey, LANMONKEY on YouTube, and you will find us. I guarantee it.
MOUSC.
There you go.
You know what? Head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts, read our bios, and find out everything we just mentioned. Because, you know, there's so much words and stuff that get in the way. But most of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call into 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, question. Email us rocks to taste any time of the day or night. Of course, you can always email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Your support helps keep quality shows coming. So if you like this show, please click on the Patreon link right there on the cachingnw.com website. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And folks, as we say each and every week, we'd like you to stay tuned for
the After Show.
There you have it. Folks, thanks for sticking around for
the After Show.
Yeah.
We've got some great feedback. And you know what? Let's start off by saying thank you. We really appreciate the feedback that you give us. As I say, it makes it much more of a dialogue of a conversation rather than us just talking at you. So thanks, guys, for watching us live on a Thursday night. I know it can be late, especially if, you know, you're not on the West Coast. Or you're in another time zone like some people are. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we want to give you an opportunity to get your voice heard and answer your question. So there you have it. And give
carry on Land Monkey. I will be right back.
Okay.
Bye.
And give Land Monkey a chance to finish his ice cap.
It's good, man. That was awesome. Mrs. Land Monkey's the best. All right. So...
Bounce Bounce started off with the one-day cruises are for ship repositioning, so it only happens a couple of times a year.
Oh, okay.
And we got several people that said, yes, Limax would love to come up for some cruising.
There you go. Oh, so Bounce Bounce was watching live.
Yes.
I didn't equate that name with the caching name. Cool. Shh,
secret.
Well, welcome to the show, Bounce Bounce. I really, really enjoyed your TB Hotel cache, the holiday TB Hotel cache.
Isn't that nice? Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
And the GPS monitoring station that's close by.
You know, it's not often, but every once in a while you come across a cache where you go, I can only give it one favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Exactly.
All right. So yeah, well, that's good. I mean, if we know that and we can look at the schedule in advance and think mm-hmm. about booking something up, we'll look into it. I think that could be fun.
I agree. I think it could be fun. You know, you guys know my heart. I want to do what you want to do. I think it'll be fun, but you know, I don't want to go to all the work and go, yeah, three people showed up because, well, no, you didn't like this one. So that's it. That's all I'm curious for. Iham wants to know if Buckland Bear could become a drone. And yes, anything can become a drone if you try hard enough.
Shh, hurting his feelings.
Oh.
Yeah, that is true. But I don't know. He's, you need a pretty sizable quad or octocopter to, don't take it personally, buddy, but there's a little bit of weight that needs to get lifted up there.
Well, there's some of the octocopters or hexacopters that lift a full DSLR with long lens, so.
Yeah, okay, well, that's a fair bit of weight, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess where I'm going is you couldn't take, like, a DJI Phantom 4 and mod it to successfully lift Buckland up. Although, you know, if somebody wants to buy me a Phantom 4 so that I can test it out.
Okay.
All right.
Bears are not usually known for being svelte.
No, they're not.
Let's see. Limax says, I still have two ideas for earth caches around here. I have a site for one and haven't scouted out a site for the other yet. There's a cache up here on one road that has erroneous information on the cache page. It kind of upsets me. It's talking about one mine when really it's the other mine.
Hmm.
So there you have it.
That would be annoying. All right. I think I must have lost your audio for a little bit. Have you read through all the FATAS?
No.
Oh, okay. You jumped around a bit.
Because, you know, that's how I roll.
I couldn't tell if you...
The ice cap froze your brain.
Well, yeah, that happens. All right.
Team Finn says a new cache and a new puzzle cache are coming soon.
Well, there you go.
There you go. There's one I don't have to find right away. Oh, wait. No. Of course I'll go out and find it. If it's nearby, I'm not going to drive 100 miles because, well, it's the way okay. I am.
So Limax said he still has two ideas for earth caches in his area. He's got a site for one and hasn't scouted a site for the other yet. Well, cool. If you've got a site and you've got the idea, then you're half the way there.
I would consider throwing down a cache, or like an earth cache, start, submit a entry and say, hey,
cache throwdown. I don't think it works that way, buddy.
Well, what I'm saying is secure the site, because I had an earth cache area that I had picked out. Somebody did a drive by from back east and threw down a earth cache that I looked at and went, yeah, I could have done better.
Yeah.
So if you've got a spot, you may want to reserve that site with a cache entry and then work on it later.
So the good news on that is it's a lot harder to do that.
Oh, is
to
it?
Quote unquote, throw down an earth cache than it used to be, because unless you can prove somehow that you have, land management approval,
mm-hmm.
The earth cache reviewers, so the GeoAware reviewers, will not publish.
You're exactly right.
Anymore. because I've got one in Washington State in Point Roberts that I have been trying for over a year to get published, and because I can't get a response one way or the other from the land management group, it won't get published. So, you know, every couple of months I ping them again, try and get a hold of them. So I haven't given up yet. It took me a year to get my UBC one published. So
Limax asks, if the earth cache is on the side of the road, how would that work?
What do you mean? I don't understand.
If you can get to the earth, if you can see everything you need for an earth cache,
okay,
from a pullout on a road, do you need land manager approval?
So here's the thing, is that it depends is going to be my answer.
No, that's not good enough. You wouldn't let me do that.
Historically, that was easy. That would be no problem. That would get published in a heartbeat. But I'm finding these days that it's more and more difficult to do that. But I would say give it a try. You know, be explicit that, you know, there is a marked pullout on the side of the road with ample room for stopping. It is, you know, it is the shoulder of the road. People don't need to leave their car to do it. You know, if you're really, really explicit about it, maybe the GeoAware reviewers will let it go. But I found they're really, really sticking on this whole land manager approval thing now. Like mine in Point Roberts is on a public beach. You can stand on this part of the beach where there's a traditional cache within arm's reach of you. So, you know, there's nothing extra being added to it, but they still won't publish it until I get land manager approval.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I mean, I get it for the most part why they're doing that. But yeah, it can be a little frustrating. Especially when there's already caches in the area, right? Like other traditionals or multis or whatever in the area. Like, well, you know, it's exactly. Not, people are going to be going there anyways. So.
Yeah. Okay. Bryling says, anybody got ideas in BC for a virtual cache? I still haven't come up with a good idea.
Oh, that's right, because he is one of the folks who was given the opportunity to place a virtual cache, one of the new virtual caches, as a geocaching volunteer. So congrats, Brylang, on that. Boy, good ideas. Yeah, what do you think? Hey, if you were listening to the podcast.
Land Monkey Studios.
If you are listening to the podcast and you have an idea for something in the British Columbia, Metro Vancouver, Lower Mainland area that you think would make an amazing virtual cache, call it in to 253-693-TFTC or send it to feedback at cachingnw.com. Mm-hmm. And we'll share your idea on future podcasts so that Brylang can hear it from you.
How accessible is the Olympic torch? Is there a geocache on it? Is that worthy of a virtual?
The problem is with a lot of these kind of things is that it's so accessible that it's totally Googlified, if you know what I mean.
Okay, like, sure.
Yeah, Street View has it down to a T that it would be very difficult to do a virtual that you couldn't armchair. Now, I know they found ways to sort of do that around the Tour d'Eiffel and some other places. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it can be done. And I know Brylang's kind of been toying around with that and some other things in that Vancouver area. I get it, though, why it's like he's got one, right? It's not like he can put out a few and, you know, pick and choose. It's one. So it's like, one. Oh, I want it to be really, really good because this is my one that I get to do. So I totally get where he's coming from. So yeah, share your ideas.
Yeah.
Help Brylang out.
Bounce says my virtual should be published soon. Interesting.
Oh, congratulations, Bounce Bounce.
Yes. I had somebody stop us on the Auburn Geo Tour and said, you should come up to Vashon more. And he said, I've got a virtual that's going to publish soon. I said, well, let me know at least 2 weeks ahead of time, and we'll have an event to go find your virtual out on Vashon Island. So
nice. Hey, when we were doing the Auburn geocaching adventure, did we bump into? I don't remember meeting Bounce Bounce.
He was at the Friday night event. I didn't remember seeing him after that.
And I ended up spending a lot of the Friday night event in the hallway chatting with Goblin Dust and Team Squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
Probably didn't get a chance to get in and see a few of the people in there. Okay. Besides, we were late to the Friday night event because we were trying to finish off the 2016 Geo Tour. 3 DNFs. Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Did you talk with Peach about that?
Not yet.
Okay.
All right. Well, what do you figure?
I think we beat this dead horse into a quadcopter.
I think it's cow is what's supposed to be next.
Oh, yeah, cow. Cow, ostrich, it's all the same.
All right. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us either live in the chat or, you know, if you're listening to this or viewing this later, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day and hope that you have an awesome weekend.
Definitely. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.